Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. Our sermon this morning is taken from our epistle lesson of Ephesians chapter 6 with these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. This is the word of our Lord. Well, hopefully you noticed as we were singing our opening hymn, Onward, Christian Soldiers, there was a little Bible verse listed there in the lower right-hand corner. And if you noticed, that also was our epistle reading as I just read for you. And so why do I point that out? Because that, of course, is on the cover of your bulletins, a beautiful picture here, a representation of the armor of God. See, I show you that because I hope that when we gather together as the body of Christ and we sing Onward, Christian Soldiers, that this is what you're thinking about. This armor that God puts on us, that is what the armory of God wears, in fact. It is a wonderful gift. So our church, in our hymns and in this cover, are saying, think on these things. This is what we must be thinking about as Christians, because this is what Christians must wear. Now, I know when you look at this, you're probably thinking, Pastor, this kind of armor, this is like 1,500 years after St. Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians. That's okay. It is specifically these items, though, that we want to think about. Because I ask you, why? Why should a Christian wear this kind of armor in a spiritual way? Are we in some kind of danger? Are we in some kind of combat? What did St. Paul say? We wrestle against the rulers of this present darkness. St. Paul means to draw to our attention, yes, demons and devil. Yes, they are real, and believe me, they are your enemy. Now, if you've ever seen a movie about Martin Luther and his life as he served the Holy Christian Church, especially when it got to the Diet of Worms, when he was about to be strung up for speaking the truth of the Holy Scriptures in direct conflict with the church, Martin Luther, on that very first opening day of his trial, understood the gravity of the situation and that he could very easily, within the hour, be condemned to be burned at the stake. So Martin Luther said, I need time to consider these words before the emperor. And so that very night he was beset upon by the devil, not to confess the truth that he had read and even taught himself in the classrooms of the University of Wittenberg. You see, Martin Luther is known for many things and writing on many topics. He has written 55 volumes. We call them Luther's works. You can borrow any single one of them you would like from our library. But one of the most personal things that vexed Luther was the daily onsetting of doubt and the onslaught of the devil trying to drag Luther away from the work of the Reformation. Because certainly the devil did not want the truth of the Bible to be in the hands of the people. The devil did not want the truth of the Holy Scriptures to be uncovered and translated into the language of the people, that it could be given into their hands and the people could read the Bible for themselves. You see, this was a powerful thing that Martin Luther was about to be a part of, a reformation that all Christians may know the truth, the very gospel, and it would set them free. So Martin Luther spoke to the people of his day, and he speaks to us Christians today. I want to read a quote from you, a very powerful quote from Martin Luther to you. Martin Luther writes, Dearest fellow believer in Christ, if you knew with what veracity and venom that the devil fires his flaming darts at your life and your heart in order for the devil to destroy you, you would run to God's altar every single day, seeking refuge in Christ, that he may save you by his mercy and grace. If you knew how many flaming darts of the devil are aimed at you on a daily basis. And so I think, again, with that in mind, that warning from Martin Luther, now does this armor seem pretty important? So we're going to look at that together. Because Martin Luther gives us very powerful words that we have to recognize. Luther was referring to the work of what Jesus does right here at this altar. How Jesus takes care of his very body, you and I, the body of Christ. See, we should know that what Jesus does at this altar is he defends you. He heals you. He equips you in your Christian life as one who belongs to him. And see, Jesus knows, as you and I should know, every Lenten season, how does Lent start? We are reminded of the fact that the devil tried to attack Jesus personally. Of course, the devil is going to target you as well. This is truth. This is reality, and we would do well to heed the words of St. Paul as they were read for you from Ephesians chapter 6. St. Paul tells you, look, there is armor of God that is necessary for your defense, and so we need to listen to this. Let's take a look at that. If you can't remember all the pieces, go ahead and grab that bulletin insert. Let's look at that whole armor of God. Can you remember all the pieces? Right? What's the first piece that St. Paul lists there in Ephesians chapter 6? He says, put on the belt of truth, right? He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, this armored and heavy piece of metal that defends you. Put on the shoes of readiness. Take up the shield of faith. Have on your head the helmet of salvation, and in your hand the very sword of the Spirit. Now, of course, you can't see all those things here, but of course, that is what we're talking about in this very picture. So let's look at these in turn. Let's learn their benefits. Let's learn their importance, as well as God's design in keeping you safe in your Christian life. First, though, let me point out that as members of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, as members of the body of Christ, it is here that you are dressed, equipped as a Christian. This is God's work. It is here that Jesus grants us all his gifts through the work of the Holy Spirit, both through the Holy Scriptures and through the sacraments. That's why you see here the Holy Spirit on the front of the altar. This is where the Holy Spirit is at work, equipping you, making for you and giving to you the very armor necessary for your daily life. You know, some may say, okay, Pastor, what's the secret to this armor? How do I know I've got it on? What's the secret? Well, I guess if there's a secret, it is simply this. That this armor, this beautiful armor, is powered by the strength of the Lord alone. It is his might. It is God's protection, which is obviously best, since God is more powerful than anything else in all creation. God, who is omnipotent, all powerful. Even the devil must bow to the words of our Creator. So we look at this armor of God. I tell you, it is Jesus only who can dress you and prepare you for battle. It is Jesus only who gives you these pieces. And he doesn't just give you one or two that look good. I think St. Paul wrote several times here, You need all of these pieces, the whole armor of God. All right, so what is the first piece? Remember? The belt of truth. Now, when you see here, there is a little piece of leather there behind the gauntlet. That little piece of leather, of course, is a part of this belt of truth. It hangs over the chainmail, even cinches and secures that armor. Certainly a belt we use today to make firm our pants, right? A belt is also used to secure this chainmail, from which you can also fasten the sheath that there holds the sword securely. The belt helps keep the armor in place and adjusted, armor that can be snug and form-fitting to your unique dimensions, even your body type, this belt of truth. See, we each personally have to hear God's word. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He brings the very law and gospel to your ears that you may hear it and take it to heart by faith. And so each of us must hear God's word, his law, and his gospel, that the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, on a week-by-week basis, especially here on Sunday, the Holy Spirit would use God's word to create and sustain and nourish faith in your heart, right? For it is by that very faith that we cling to Christ for our forgiveness, our Christian life. Is simply established by holding on to Christ who saves us, right? And I guess, you know, always as important as Christians, I must ask, where does our life begin? Where do we begin as Christians, right? Of course, whenever we hear the word of God, but there is always this established moment in your life in Christianity where baptism takes place. I think that takes us to the next piece of armor. Because by faith, clinging to Christ, our parents, our very Christian life is brought here to the font where holy baptism, this sacred event, takes place where, again, Jesus dresses you. Jesus places upon your chest and your back this breastplate of righteousness. And what does it do? But it covers your heart. It covers your vital organs. It protects your soul. This breastplate of righteousness. And with this precious gift, we grow up in our Christian faith. As we hear the gospel proclaimed for us Sunday after Sunday. And then, as we hear the beautiful gospel, especially that of Christmas and Easter, what do we see? What do we hear? But the very life of Christ Jesus, born for us that he might die and rise again. And what's the next piece of armor? The shoes of readiness, right? Readiness to go. Go ye therefore. And what we do is we share the very beautiful gospel of what we have seen and heard about the life of Christ with shoes on our feet. And then as we go out, we come back in, don't we? We come back in regularly to be where God is, to be in his house, that again, we may be strengthened and empowered in our faith. For what's the next piece of armor? What's the next piece? The shield of faith, right? This mighty shield that captures all the flaming darts of the devil. As Martin Luther warned you, every day the devil wants to bring you low and destroy you. You need that shield of faith. And so Jesus gives you that shield. The Holy Spirit empowers you with that faith that you may glance aside all those darts that want to end your life. And knowing as Christians, knowing as Lutherans, that it is Christ alone who defends us, we run to the altar to be where Christ is, to receive from him Holy Communion, where even today, Jesus will adorn your head with the helmet of salvation. And now, I don't know about you, but I imagine this beautiful, ornate, resplendent piece of armor that shines brightly. as we partake of the very body and blood of Christ for our salvation. And then finally, last but not least, it is placed into your hands, what you see there on the cover of your bulletins, this treasure, this family heirloom that you are given to care for, this powerful and divine weapon, a keenly double-edged sword of the Spirit. You see, this weapon can both kill and heal and make alive again. We call that law and gospel, to both destroy and to bring to life again. You see, it is, though, when Christ Jesus, our Savior, our King, our Lord and mighty in battle, when He wields this Word of God, this sword of the Spirit, victory is assured. And this is what Christ does. This is why you and I are gathered here. Not for me or anyone else. We are here because this is where Jesus is. To nourish you with His Word. To save you and defend you. To heal you. And give you life everlasting. And finally, St. Paul says, "You, dear Christians, we must be praying. Pray at all times and in all places that God may rescue you." And so that is what we shall do to close. Let us pray together. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness. Lord, have your blessed Son adorn us with the armor of God now in this earthly life, that Jesus may strengthen us and prepare us for a daily life under the cross, enduring the assaults of the evil one. Dear Heavenly Father, bless us by faith to look forward to the day of Jesus' glorious victory, when He gives us life everlasting and leads us with all His saints to enter into the kingdom of heaven. To Him alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen.